Good evening, everyone. I'm Joseph Cotto. Thank you for stopping by tonight, or if you're watching this after the fact, in the morning, afternoon, or listening to it, whatever. Thank you for being here. That's the point. Obviously, it is election season, and as with any election season, economics are an issue. Although with America being in the state it's been in for some time, economics are a bigger than usual issue. That brings about a question. What has been done? What's actually different questions? What has been done? What's going to be done? And are people satisfied with whatever the hell is going on? I think we can all figure out the answer. So what is going on with Bidenomics? A lot of things, a lot of moving parts, and understanding them is tantamount to understanding why so many people are frustrated with America on the whole right now. And obviously that has immense consequences in this election season, but this isn't a show about that. It's a show about economics and business. So Bidenomics is something that I find really interesting for a host of reasons. Obviously not because I think that they are a success story. I think that they are instructive, however, in how politicians tend to deal with complicated issues that are not easily resolved. Arguably, they can't be resolved at all through government intervention. What seems to be a resolution is just something that makes the problem worse or puts it on the back burner, and then it comes roaring to life and the whole damn kitchen set on fire. So Bidenomics definitely are a sensitive subject. But before getting further into this, just trying to figure out where to start is a hell of a question, because so much is riding on Bidenomics, obviously, for Joe Biden in this campaign. And Donald Trump is using so much of what Biden has done against him that regardless of what one thinks about Bidenomics, they are relevant to all of us. And I would say the relevance, even though a lot of people might think it's straightforward, you know, Bidenomics is impacting inflation, the consumer price index, so on and so forth. There's a lot more to it than that. So what is Bidenomics? That's the big, you know, that's the first issue. And it's something that's often overlooked because people talk about Bidenomics all the time, but they don't really get into what Bidenomics are. It's a term that refers to the economic vision and policies of Joe Biden. It's based on the idea that government intervention is needed to boost demand, create jobs, and reduce inequality. Bidenomics includes relief measures, investments, and infrastructure, and it strengthens or claims to strengthen the safety net, which is funded by tax increases on higher income individuals and corporations. It is often contrasted with the economic approach of Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump obviously is contrasting himself with Bidenomics. I referenced that before, but once again, this isn't a show about campaign season. It's really about what's at the heart of campaign season. I don't think you can say that Bidenomics are a secondary issue. They are the main issue, and they will be of relevance long after election season has concluded, regardless of who wins the presidency. Obviously, if Biden wins, they'll continue and be amplified. If Trump wins, he will devote his time to undoing Bidenomics in one way or another, perhaps several different ways at once. But now that the definition has been addressed, I think it's important to discuss how Bidenomics impact people in a really tangible way. There was an article published in USA Today on the 19th of January titled, "Biden Adds to His Bidenomics Flop. This New Rule Throws Wrench in Popular Gig Economy." It was written by Ingrid Jacques. Skipping down to the part that I think is most relevant, Biden began the year with a new Department of Labor rule that will undermine the gig economy that independent contractors and freelancers rely on to support themselves and their families. More than 70 million Americans enjoy this kind of work, according to the American Action Forum, a center-right policy institute. The Biden regulation raises the bar sharply for companies to be able to treat workers as independent contractors rather than employees. The rule, which takes effect in March, is so sweeping that the full impact isn't yet known. But what is a sure thing is that it will limit the freedom of workers to enjoy the flexibility of not being a full-time employee, as well as force employers to reduce their workforce. Women especially benefit from this type of work as it allows them to better balance their professional and personal lives, says Patrice Onwuka, the director of the Center for Economic Opportunity at the Independent Women's Forum. The new regulation replaces a Trump-era rule that offered clarity as to whom should be classified as an independent contractor. Biden's rule turns that on its head and will make it much more difficult for companies to classify workers as freelancers. It's anti-women, it's anti-flexibility, and it's anti-worker freedom, Onwuka says. So that, now I'm done reading from that article, that's what's going on one front. What do people think about what's happening? Well, a poll, the Democracy Institute, which is headed by Patrick Basham, a frequent flyer, so to speak, on this program, they're doing a monthly poll. Actually, they do a few polls each month for The Express, which is an English newspaper. And one issue which came up in one of the polls was this: are economic and political systems rigged in favor of rich and powerful? 60% of respondents said yes, 34% said no. And the poll was conducted from the 9th through the 11th of January, and it included 1,500 likely U.S. voters with a margin of error plus minus 3% at a 95% confidence interval. I make sure to read that, the fine print, literally it is the fine print, because a lot of people don't necessarily take stock of the quality of the poll. Obviously, if the poll includes likely voters and has a decent enough sample size, that those are two green flags in its favor. Some polls, such as one that just came out today or the other day, showing something really off the wall about Donald Trump, in my opinion, it was of adults. Adult polls can include non-citizens, illegal aliens, and yet it's thrown out there as something indicative of public opinion, especially regarding political issues. So this is the Democracy Institute poll is a high quality one. And it is interesting that 60% of folks think that that America's economic and political systems are rigged in favor of the rich and powerful, will only a third roughly say no. And this comes as Bidenomics has been enforced for years and supposedly it's working in favor of the little guy, of the downtrodden, this, that, the other thing. Obviously, for people to think that America's economic system is rigged in favor of wealthy interests, despite what Biden would consider to be his economic progress, doesn't speak very highly of what Biden has done. That's putting it mildly. This is one of those situations where the proof is in the pudding. As for Joe Biden's handling of the economy, 24% of voters approve and 68% disapprove. So basically, it's a quarter approving and very nearly three quarters disapproving. Obviously, a bit short of three quarters, but 68% isn't that far from 25%. 75%. Only about 25%, 24 technically, like I said, approve. Really dismal numbers for the president. And what's clear is that people believe the economy is not working for them, despite the idea that Bidenomics has been changing things in favor of normal people. Normal people don't really believe that's true. They don't come close to believing it's true. Exactly why it is that there has been a massive differential between the intent of Bidenomics and the impact it has on people, or at least what they perceive that impact to be, it's a hell of a question. I don't have the answer for it, but I will say that from everything I've seen, I've been following this obviously closely, Bidenomics do seem to be a failure, which is what gives Trump a massive opening in the presidential elections, what makes him so competitive and arguably the favorite, at least at this point. So another question that's really of relevance here: are you better off under Donald Trump or Joe Biden? 36% of respondents say they're better off under Biden, whereas 56% say they're better off under Trump. That's interesting, considering 68% disapprove of Biden's handling of the economy, yet 56% say they're better off under Trump. So there's a 12-point difference there. It's a difference that some might think is strange, but obviously some people just aren't going to say anything positive about Trump because they really hate the guy, or maybe they feel Trump and Biden have failed them economically, whatever. But the 12-point differential still does not negate that there is a 20-point gap between Trump and Biden on economics. Only 36% voters, barely over a third, say they are better off under Biden. And in an election year, that's very bad. It's bad indeed. I was gonna say it's bad as it gets, but I think it could drop even further. So, there's always that. I really do believe that, even though we live in the age of identity politics, collectivism, this, that, the other thing, wokeism, I really do think that the economy is of the greatest importance to voters this year. Just how important it will wind up being when people go into the voting booth as opposed to what they would say now in a poll is one hell of a question, but the economy right now is the leading issue. That's not simply my opinion. The Democracy Institute asked people, what is the most important issue? 52% said the economy, whereas the runner-up was crime at 17%, and then immigration at 13%, education 5%, Israel v. Hamas 3%, and it goes down from there. The economy is the big deal right now, and Trump obviously has the edge on it. We will see whether or not he maintains it, but Bidenomics, insofar as what most people believe, has been a failure. Obviously, the Democrats, or most of them, we'll get into this in a minute, would say, no, it's really not been a failure. People don't understand. They've been misinformed. They don't really know what's good or bad for them. Not a good argument, but that is the argument they're making. It explains, I think, why Biden's polling so poorly, at least in part. But it is what it is. But most people, they would say that they know what's good or bad for them, and that Bidenomics have been bad for them, even people who would support Joe Biden over Donald Trump. It's unsurprising that in terms of the country's direction, 75% of respondents say it's headed in the wrong way, whereas only 23%, less than a quarter, say it's headed the right way. So very bad numbers there for Biden on the economy. It raises a lot of issues. One, I think, insightful perspective was written by Larry Kudlow in an article published in the New York Sun on January the 19th. The article is titled, "Why is Bidenomics So Unpopular?" The subtitle is, "The Affordability Crisis, Falling Real Wages, is the Dirty Little Secret President Biden Won't Talk About." Skipping down to the relevant part of the article, at least to what I want to get into, one of the phoniest of the phony arguments is how he, which is to say Biden, created 14 million jobs. The trouble is he didn't. He's double counting lost pandemic jobs with his modest number of jobs gained. In February of 2020, before the COVID roof fell in, there were 152 million non-farm payroll jobs. Today, there are 157 million. That's 5 million new jobs. The Trump performance, though, starting with 143 million non-farm payrolls in January 2017 and going through February of 2020, was plus 9 million. 9 million is 4 million higher than 5 million, just saying. By the way, it comes to roughly 170,000 a month for President Trump and 130,000 for Mr. Biden. Now, I agree with Mr. Biden that unemployment is historically low, under 4%, but it was Mr. Trump who first broke that barrier with 3.5% unemployment. Then there's this notion that billionaires are only paying an 8% tax rate, according to Mr. Biden. This is the phoniest of phony numbers conjured up by Biden staff using an unrealized capital gains wealth tax that does not exist. That's how they get to 8%. percent. I'll stop reading there. Very interesting. I think it's pretty clear, at least from Kudlow's perspective, why people think Bidenomics are so unpopular. It's a question of affordability. People's wages aren't keeping up with the increased cost of living. And that sort of thing will doom any politician who's in office at the time. So it's not, you know, some sort of shocking thing that Biden would be in such a precarious political position as a result, really, of Bidenomics. There is another article that's worth getting into from the Washington Examiner. It was published, let's see, did it even include the date it was published on? That's an interesting question. Yes, it did. It was published on January the 18th, titled "People Really Hate Full Employment and Declining Income Inequality, the Only Ostensible Benefits of Bidenomics." When Paul Krugman isn't busy trying to pretend that year three of the worst inflationary crisis in 40 years is merely transitory, the once esteemed Nobel laureate is trying to justify said inflation with the supposed sole benefits of Bidenomics. Namely, we've achieved the white whale of full employment while shrinking income inequality. There's just one problem. Despite years of people pretending to care about the income gap between stone-fried cooks and the job creators who employ millions, it turns out we actually hate full employment and lessen income inequality when it comes at the cost of price stability and thus the value of our savings and paychecks. I'll stop reading there. So this is really interesting because it goes back to what Kudlow mentioned, what he was talking about, that the failure of Bidenomics at its core is about affordability. People cannot afford to have the quality of life, the standard of living that they find acceptable. So it's something else that there could be low unemployment and lessening income inequality, yet people, the amount of money they're making isn't enough to get by, or at least in the way they would like. And so they say the economy is doing poorly, and it is doing poorly for them. It goes to show how statistics can be quite misleading. There are lies, damn lies, and then there are statistics. So that definitely is what it is. And this all brings up something else. It's an article published at CNN titled "Some Democrats Hate It, But Bidenomics Isn't Going Anywhere." I'll skip down to the relevant part. Among some of Biden's fellow Democrats, there have been longstanding concerns about the Bidenomics approach. Despite widespread praise for Biden's accomplishments, some say Biden's focus is better spent laying out the threats posed by a potential second Trump presidency, stakes the president has now begun dramatically laying out in political speeches, including two over the past week. Other Democratic allies say Biden is better off tailoring his message more narrowly around prices, which White House aides acknowledge is a top issue for Americans. Blueprint, a public research firm that tests which policies and messages are breaking through in the hopes of helping Democrats get elected, recently published data encouraging Biden to adopt a tighter message on inflation and lowering prices, saying those are areas most important for voters. I'll stop reading there. And that's the last article I'll read tonight. All this goes back to the cost of living. That's really what it is. The cost of living is the issue when it comes to public dissatisfaction with the economy. And a great way to measure what the cost of living is to take note of the inflation rate. Obviously, inflation now is not increasing as much as it had been. But, you know, it's misleading. People say inflation is down, and it makes it sound like prices are decreasing. But really, the inflation rate just isn't increasing as much as it had been. So the prices are still higher than they have been. The prices are higher now on average than they were last month. The prices for this, that, or the other thing. It's just that the increases are not happening on the whole as much as they used to. And obviously on the whole means just that, on the whole, specific goods, you know, they may be going down in price, actually going down, or they may be skyrocketing. But the average, it does constitute a lower inflation rate than we've seen. But when you have a lower inflation rate on top of massive inflation, it means that nothing is getting cheaper. It just means things are getting more expensive. And so this goes back to, you know, what these articles have been talking about, the cost of living issue. That is why people believe that Bidenomics have failed them. And that is something that a lot of people overlook. I mean, people can talk about income inequality, they can talk about the unemployment rate, they can talk about this, they can talk about that, blah, blah, blah. But if people don't believe they have enough to get by, and I think more importantly, if they don't believe they have a real future to build on the basis of the economy as structured, they tend to... they could be moved to some very dark places, I'll put it that way. And that certainly produces political discontent, and it's totally understandable. So when people, you know, feel stressed, when they feel pressed to the wall, when they give up hope in many regards, that's when they become, they do often become bleak, withdrawn, attracted to radical ideas, which are very often destructive, make a bad situation worse. So it's highly unfortunate what's going on, but that, you know, barely even scratches the tip of the iceberg. The fact of the matter is that if we are to look at Bidenomics from the perspective of people being able to survive in a way that they find satisfactory, Bidenomics have just been a failure. I mean, that's not, you know, some people say, oh, this is too subjective. Maybe somebody really can get by, even though they think it's not enough for them to get by on. They just have to make do. People have to adjust to a lower standard of living. That's it. That's basically what a lot of progressives, Democrats moreover, are saying now to defend Bidenomics. People don't realize how good they have it. They just have to adapt to a lesser standard of living than they had before. Obviously, that's not a good political message, and that explains why Biden's in the mess that he's in. So it's you know, it definitely is what it is. I would say that Bidenomics have failed on a host of levels, but chief among them being that they have not delivered for people who want a better future and who want to have a sense of stability, security, and really peace of mind, I guess is the most general way of describing it. But maybe the better way of describing it is a sense that what they're doing with their life is worth continuing. A lot of people now definitely are facing it like a crisis of meaninglessness, because they believe they're like a hamster on a wheel running around and round, and they're very nervous that they're going to get laid off. I was talking about, you know, the low unemployment rate, but now since the dawn of 2024, there have been quite a few layoffs among large companies, white collar jobs. And it does look like this is going to continue. So the lower unemployment rate probably won't be low for very long. It's terribly sad, but you know, it's not surprising. It's when people don't have enough money to do what they want to do with themselves, they're not going to have any proclivity for going on a spending spree, at least not in most cases. So that means companies are obviously going to be making less money, and that means obviously they're going to be sooner than later now, firing people. So it's a nasty situation. That's, I think, that for sure is the core of discontent with Bidenomics. People don't believe that whatever they're making is enough to get by on, and it causes a litany of problems, from people becoming, you know, withdrawn and taken to an unfortunate place upstairs, to companies laying folks off, which puts people who are already on edge into a frightful position. It's not good. I don't anticipate Joe Biden's economic numbers improving anytime soon. But to talk about why Bidenomics have been a failure, you really do have to get to the heart of the matter, as I did, with the assistance of these various articles. And of course, the polling from the Democracy Institute. I will say that I'm not surprised that Bidenomics have failed in this way. Usually, programs that are designed to use government intervention to somehow make something close to economic nirvana fail. This stuff has a terrible track record. Go back to the Great Depression, the New Deal, as it was admitted at the end of the 1930s by FDR's chief architect of it. He admitted under oath to Congress that it was a failure. The New Deal was a failure, that the Roosevelt administration had not delivered on its promises for the American people. The economic interventionism failed. I mean, it had certain elements that I think we could all say are productive, like Social Security, and the federal recognition of rights for workers. But it was so much more than that. The idea is basically that the federal government would take over a large sector of the economy and stabilize it and pump so much money into the economy that somehow this would result in the private sector being infused with cash. And this would create some sort of economic equilibrium that eventually prosperity could be based on. And then there, you know, of course, prosperity mean an economic rally, not just a state of, you know, relative stability. It was only World War II, the aftermath of World War II, that pulled America really out of the Depression. You know, that was unique because the developed world was basically in shambles, except for the U.S. and Canada. You could add Australia and New Zealand and parts of South Africa, but the United States was well beyond any other country. So it had the world to itself to produce goods, and that sent the economy skyrocketing into the 1950s. It's really something else. People don't learn from the mistakes of the past. And I'm not someone who believes that the government has no role in the economy. I'm not someone who believes that, you know, there should be tariff-free trade. I'm not someone who believes that there should be no protections for workers. I'm definitely not a person like that at all. Not at all. I do believe in a, what you could be called a welfare to work state. There does have to be a social safety net. I'm definitely not opposed to it. I am, after all, a Rockefeller Republican. But at the same time, the interventionism of the Biden administration clearly is rooted in New Deal thinking. And as the guy who was the power behind the New Deal, more than Roosevelt delegated authority to him, as his fellow told Congress under oath, the New Deal had been a failure. So, you know, it's not surprising to me, therefore, that Bidenomics have failed in the way which they have. And I obviously don't see any hope on the horizon with them. It's sad, but it's not... you know, it's something that people should have seen coming. I'll put it in that way. So that is what's going on now, really, with Bidenomics. They are deeply unfortunate. Some would say well-meaning, but unfortunate. And if you want to understand why so many people are so angry about the economy, you have to do the dive into the facts that was just done. So I hope this sort of clarified the situation, because, as I said, Bidenomics are of relevance to all of us, regardless of what we believe about them. And Bidenomics will be of great relevance to the United States going forward. Either it's going to be Biden building on them, or it's going to be Donald Trump reversing the effects of Bidenomics. So that's the situation. And it's, you know, it is what it is. A shorter episode than usual, obviously, because when I do a solo show, it always is shorter. For whatever reason, I am just not able to go that long doing shows alone. My voice starts to give out. Why the hell this happens, you know, who knows? It's something that's actually become a bit worse over the years. It's not that I have trouble breathing or anything like that. It's just that my voice does start to go out. I don't think it has, though. I think you could hear me loud and clear, but I'm already beginning to feel a little raspy. But, you know, before I go, I just will say that I really did want to address this issue of discontent over Joe Biden's economic performance. It's so important to so many different things. And people, as much as they talk about Bidenomics, they very rarely get into, number one, what Bidenomics are. You know, I went over the definition of it. And they don't get into the aspects of Bidenomics, or the core aspect, affordability, that is driving the anger. You know, a lot of people criticize Bidenomics and they just say, Bidenomics are a failure. Bidenomics this, Bidenomics that. And they don't talk about what they're talking about, if that makes any sense. They just talk about it in a very cursory context. They don't get into the meat of it. And, you know, in a way, there's no point in discussing it if you don't get into the meat, because you're just beating around the bush. And, you know, what the hell is the purpose of that? It's I will add before I go that I don't think Joe Biden particularly cares about how successful his policies are. I think that a lot of this is about increasing the power of the Democratic Party by using the government to interfere with the economy, which obviously creates a larger role for Uncle Sam. The more people are dependent on Uncle Sam, the more people will be looking to Uncle Sam for their sustenance. As the years pass, the Democratic Party would then say, well, we'll give you X, Y, and Z, and the Republicans wouldn't. I do think there's a very calculated political strategy here being played out with Bidenomics. I don't think Bidenomics are really intended to deliver long-term prosperity. I think that this is all a great deal of political theater. The truth of the matter is, if you do like an expansionist role for the government, when the economy is doing well, thanks to the private sector, it's not good for you because it makes people less dependent on the government. And if you want a larger government, which people don't depend on, they're going to question why the government's that big to begin with. So that will decrease demand for an expanded bureaucracy, for an increased role of the administrative state in public and private life. So that's my take on the point of Bidenomics from Biden's perspective, and far more importantly, from the perspective of people who are actually running his administration, because heaven knows that guy's just a rubber stamp. So anyway, that is the situation. And I hope I have articulated it clearly. I hope I've been able to illuminate some of the key issues here that often go overlooked or misunderstood, perhaps both. Thank you very much for tuning in tonight. I have enjoyed this discussion, the unusual one-way discussion wherein I just, you know, talk about something that I think is of note. I think I will be doing more of these streams, by the way. They are instructive. It's just, you know, I have to have the voice for it. I do enjoy it. I really do. And I hope you found this to be worth your while. So everyone, please stay safe, be well, cheers, and see you next time.